welcome to this very special World Crazy Golf Championship edition of the 54 Problems Podcast! Yeah! I'm your co-host, Andrew Edmonds. Welcome, one and all, and thank you so much for joining us. And with me, as always, it's my good friend and co-host, you are never going to believe it, it's Simon Brown!
That is better than last year. I got booed last year.
Yeah.
These 12 months have went well for at least one of us. Thank you.
You did get booed quite badly last year.
I know, what was that?
Anyway, you were late.
Good to be back and on time.
So, the World Crazy Golf Championship, check this out, the 20th year, 154 players from 11 countries. It's pretty amazing. Simon, how does it feel to be back?
It just feels like this is where we belong. Everything we do for 12 months, everything we talk about mini golf, this is the home of mini golf. This is the competition we look forward to. And I look about the people with us today. Some of us we have met before, some of us we have not. And many will be speaking tonight, and I look forward to that. But this is the event that gets people excited. And I am so, so glad that we have this to offer to the mini golf community.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's been great this year in particular to meet so many different people, so many different countries. Like we said, 11 different countries. Fantastic. We're going to be talking to a few people from different countries. We're going to be talking to some great home players, some international players that are coming over, so it's going to be very good.
Yeah, we couldn't have envisaged this 12 months ago, and that's not that's not about podcasts, that's about the growth in the international level of the game.
Yeah.
And that is, for me, the best thing that you could ever imagine, and how exciting that is.
Okay, let's get on with it then. Our first guest is truly out of this world. It's Mars! It's Josh Mars! Take a seat. So we tried a little pun there with your name, Mars being out of this world.
Yes.
Regular listeners of this podcast will know that we don't often attempt humour, but we thought we'd give it a go just for tonight. Did you like it?
Well, I did. And g'day, mate.
All right. So, that's a good segue. Where are you from? Where did you travel from to be here?
Yep, so I travel from Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.
Yeah.
The better part of Australia, the Sunshine State.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's a pleasure to be here. Mm-hmm.
Is this your first time at the World Crazy Golf Championship?
Yes, it is. First time out of Australia into the UK.
Okay. So give us the newbie perspective then. You've never been here before, never seen the course before. What did you think when you seen it for the first time, when you soaked up the atmosphere for the first time? How are you feeling?
I've seen the course on videos, photographs. Yep. I had an idea of what it was like. But when you get here, it's completely different, really. It's such a cultural course, such a heritage course.
Uh-huh.
It's you think it's an easy course, but it'll just it'll get you. It's love it, really, really good course, and look forward to playing on it.
Uh-huh.
So why Hastings and why this time? What made you decide to play the ball and actually come over?
Yeah, it wasn't actually the course itself. I think it actually was the people that play on the course. It was the people. It was the people that you meet on social media. It was all that sort of stuff. It was more of the get together and meet everyone, I suppose. The course is part of it, and the event's part of it, but overall, it was also to meet people too.
Good, good, good. So far, from you've met players, obviously, you haven't seen our players
ever
before. Yeah, what do you feel like the standard's like?
Standard's good. I mean, we've had Mark Chapman, he's been practicing. Michael Smith, he's been practicing as well too. And of course, the other people that's playing as well too, that's over the last couple of days, the standard's really high. Really, really excited about playing.
You said something interesting to me earlier about the Australian New Zealand mini golf community sort of being in a little bubble and not really knowing how they compare to the rest of the world.
Yes.
You've had a couple players play in the United States.
Yes.
Anyone playing in the World Crazy Golf Championship? Because what you were saying is people are going to be looking at your performance from Australia, from New Zealand, and then kind of figuring out where they rank in the sort of global community, which we love the global community.
Yep. So we've got Alan Cox, who's one of our sort of figurehead or sort of one of our icons of Australian mini golf. You've had him before on your podcast. So Alan's played in America. Mm-hmm. We've got an idea how we play against the Americans. We have no idea how we play against the UK, the Brits, and the people over here. So this is a bit of an idea that we can take back and sort of say how we are from our bubble across the globe type of thing. Looking forward to it. It'll be good fun.
So earlier you mentioned about you've seen Hastings and the Crazy Golf Course on videos. You've been making quite a few videos of yourself because you've been here for 2 weeks. What kind of videos have you been doing and how can people find them?
So I've been putting them on originally just on Facebook. So every couple of days, put some new ones on. But they're going to go on YouTube. So if you just pretty much search for my name, Josh Mars, you'll see them on there.
On YouTube, Josh Mars?
On YouTube, yep, on Josh Mars. And that's just pretty much just hole-in-ones, how to get them, and some trick shots, a bit of fun. Everyone should watch it. It's good fun.
Okay, so if you're a novice player, perhaps you're traveling on Friday, you're playing a novice, perhaps you've not played course for the first time, YouTube, Josh Mars. Go to YouTube.
The correct Josh Mars, because there's probably another Josh Mars that you probably don't want to watch.
There might be another Josh. There might be another. There might be
Josh Mars spinning off.
There might be another Josh Mars.
He is the something from down under.
That's right, yeah.
How great it is that people applauded you for making these videos. I think that shows the spirit here. You're making videos for the novice and you just got that huge round of applause.
There's people everywhere. Yeah. Just want to get a piece of Josh.
Yeah, okay. On that note, we are not your only media commitment.
That's right. Yes.
Would you like to tell us about that?
Yes, sir. That's it. So yeah, we've got the BBC here. They'll be doing a couple of pieces as well too. We've got some live TV crosses. We've got some live radio crosses. And
BBC Radio 5, right?
BBC Radio 5.
Fantastic.
ITV Media.
Meridian.
And BBC again as well too. I think they're doing some other stuff as well too. So
BBC TV.
Yes. Yep. So we've got a fair bit of media coverage, which should be good. Great.
Fantastic.
For sport. Great for Hastings. Great for Crazy Golf.
Fantastic. So you played this course for the first time. You've been making videos for the novices. Do you?
And for me.
And for you. And for you. You just like watching back yourself, which is fine. There's no judgment here. Sometimes I listen to this podcast myself. What tips would you give novice players?
Have fun.
Okay.
Have fun. Twos are good. Just get
twos
those
are good.
Twos. Yep. And just have fun, smile, and enjoy the atmosphere. Watch the other top players, and just learn from them as well too. But have fun. This is what it's all about here. And talk to everyone. Like, there's people from all over the world here. Enjoy it. Enjoy the different cultures. My culture is completely different to everyone else's culture.
Sure.
You've got the Americans here. You've got the Czechs here. You've got the Welsh here. You've got the Scottish here. We could keep going.
Yeah.
It's going to be good fun.
Yeah. All right. Any final questions?
Yeah, so you mentioned the other players.
Yes.
Perfect time to ask. Who do you think has a chance?
Mm.
And what do you think that winning line is? So, some names and some scores. Go for it.
Okay, so of course you can't go past Michael Smith. Okay. You can't go past Chapman. A Chappie, as I call him.
Okay.
Come on.
Oh, dear.
Adam Kelly used to be up there as well, too. And there's a few others that you never know. You've got Frank Bisesi. There's a chance for America, Frank Bisesi. Adam Pope, I think, is another chance to go in there as well, too. We've got plenty. So who knows? Maybe even the putting wonder from down under may...
You never know. Let's see. Is there anything else that you'd like to say that we haven't covered yet?
No,
this
fellas.
Is this
really
is your
appreciate
time.
It. High five.
High five.
Okay.
High
five. Thank you very much, Josh Marr.
Thank you. And you got some good beers here too. Cheers.
While we potentially wait for one of our next guests, you've been practicing, Simon.
Yes.
You've been practicing on the course. How has your practice gone? How was your final round of practice today?
It's been in line with the last 4 years, where it has
okay.
much exceeded what I will do come the weekend. But yeah, it's solid. It's been
yeah.
good. I've seen a couple of unexpected players hit good scores.
Yeah.
Like yourself.
Oh, Jesus,
okay. And I've just about managed to hang with them, so
yeah,
yeah. I'm good. How about
Do you,
you
want to give a number? Do you want to pop a number out there? What is your last round today?
I had 29 from the middle.
29 over here. 29.
And
all right.
The kindest thing is I could possibly say is he stayed with me for that. And I thought I had him. So yeah.
Was there evidence that he got 29?
Yes, is there proof?
Was the proof that he got 29?
No proof. No, it's not in Bangalore.
No proof didn't happen.
No.
All right.
Exactly. We all know I missed the cut. It's fine.
Okay. So people ask me, are you certain that this next guest is going to be here and speaking? And I said, yes, he's Shaw. He's James Shaw. Do you like that? Yeah.
Nice link. Nice.
Yeah.
I love. I don't even know the segue, so I was surprised.
Carry on the cheers.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's gonna sound like sound effects. It's like,
how's it going, guys?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. How are you?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Good to be here.
You've had some few months.
Yeah.
It's as we say this weekend. It's been a bit crazy, to be honest. Had some good tournaments, some good results. So yeah, I'm coming into this tournament with a little bit of form.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I can upset a few positions if I can. But yeah, it's good to be here.
How does that feel to you? Because I guess you've been before, but you've never came in with anyone actually looking at you. For the first time, people actually discuss you and look at you.
Yeah, I think it's the first time this year that people have started to like look and think, you know, that there's a possibility that I could do something.
Not you, James.
How are you finding that? Are you finding it's pushing you? Is it motivating you? Are you a bit cautious, apprehensive about it, worried about carrying on your form? Has it lit a fire under you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty confident, but not overconfident. Trying to be level-headed, really, with things like this. There's a few things that have changed in the last year to...
Good, really good form. Really good form. Great form. You've got a few fans. Clearly, you've got a few fans.
Yeah. I never knew I had. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm coming into it with a bit of confidence. Obviously, not too overconfident because it's a tough course. The craziest, as everyone obviously knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a great start to the year. Just want to carry on the form really, and just you know just play your own game really. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and let's talk about Foxes.
Yep.
So a new club that 54 Problems happened to sponsor as well. We're going to put some pictures out of the live recording on the Facebook. We've got the Foxes decor for you in this room.
It's like a Foxes den, isn't it? That's good.
How does it feel being the captain of a new club? It's a new experience for you. Is it something, are you championing your club? Are you helping out the other club members?
Yeah, it's nice to have a new club on the tour, on the BMJ tour. It's nice to have a new club anyway, I think, in general. Something fresh, trying to bring a few different ideas.
Yep.
And we've got a few good players in the team now. And we played the clubs in March and done really well as a team there. And I didn't think we'd do as well as I thought we'd do. And we did. We gelled quite well together. I just think like just being part of a club that's I'd like say he's going places in the way of doing things probably differently to other clubs. Not saying other clubs don't do things right, because there is some great things.
So they do things right.
We've got some of the Strokes guys here as well, Strokes Mini Golf. Obviously, Sebi, a part of Gloucester. You know, we've had some new teams that have come into the tour the last few years, so it's nice to see new clubs coming together. Gemini Golf, obviously, another club that's obviously formed recently and got their own open, which we played last month. So, yeah, it's been good. It's nice to be like setting up a new club as well, in a way.
Yeah.
And just like I say, it's something fresh on the tour, and I feel like I'm playing better because I've set the club up. It sounds odd, but like I just feel more at ease with what I'm doing and the flow and stuff. So.
That's great.
I do get that though. I've been lucky or misfortunate enough to be involved in setting up two different clubs.
Yeah.
And that gives you that passion. I don't know, because you're thinking about it and you're discussing it and you're in those chats and you're deciding on logos and you're having that communication.
I mean, in the last year or so, I've become more passionate with the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's okay, I'm having a laugh and a joke, but I'm kind of like being a bit more serious with it, but we're still, you know, enjoying it rather than being too serious and actually committing myself to, you know, practice and stuff like that, trying to better myself in the game, and not, like Josh was saying before, you know, just enjoying yourself is the main thing. So
how has your practice been going? Practice is important. Practice is important. Thank you.
How's
it been going?
I mean, obviously, it's a little bit different this year with the format.
Yep.
I think it's going to be challenging for every player, even the novices, even the pros. It's not that straightforward as it was last year, where you're just going for the one shot per hole.
Yep.
You've got to learn three different shots. I think it's going to be very challenging this year, even for the top players. I also think consistency will play a big part this year. If you've got the consistency and you know the course well, I think those players that know the course well will do well. I mean, I was practicing this morning. I've found quite tough.
Yeah.
Found some of the shots quite tough. Couldn't get the head around some of the things, but yeah, that's the whole point of the crazes in Hastings. It's one of those challenging courses that's, you know, it's challenging.
Give us some tips for the novice players. So we've had fun. Where do you think novice players can make the difference?
Learning from others, obviously, in practice, I think. That's what I did a couple of years ago. Learn a few lines. Listen to what some of the pros are doing in practice. I also think, you know, just doing a bit of practice yourself, you know, either shots up. Your second putts are more important, I think, as well.
Yeah.
I mean, getting the ball near the, I know it sounds so like silly saying it, and so like straightforward, but get the ball near the hole. Give them second shots, you know, make it easy for yourself. If you can get the line right for your first shots, you're halfway there. So, and also keep your head. When you think things are bad on one hole, just keep your head.
Yeah. I like that advice, because so many times I thought I'm playing poorly.
Yeah.
And I get to the end of the round, I look at the results and go, actually, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Some of the shots you get, like, say you get a four on the windmill.
Yeah.
Which people will do it.
Yeah.
I did it last year. And then later on in the round, it's like, I've got four aces there. Like, that weren't a bad round, really.
Mm.
And if you take those shots that you lose on, then it's, if you can get twos and cut out your threes and your fours, you got every chance of winning the tournament. Anyone has.
So talking about those opening shots then, we've got the tee boxes this year. That is the biggest change to the course.
Yeah, totally.
You spent the home day, I believe, practicing your lines from the tee boxes.
Got this morning, doing the tee boxes, yeah.
How do you feel they score? What's easiest? What's most difficult from left, centre and right?
The easiest ones are, for example, hole two. Off the tee off shots, you've got to get into the hole, and then you worry about second shots like hole 14, where you've got to get on the plateau, hole 13, 12, those ones that you're going to roll up or come off the back, those are the lines that you've got to really like knuckle down on. Even like, say, hole 7, I think the ski jump is it. Those are the shots that you've also got to get your first lines right, because if you're going over the ski jump and you hit something and you're like, you know, a couple of foot away from it, you're in trouble. You really are in trouble, especially with the wind in Hastings. It's just, like I said, going back earlier, like, you've got to get that ball nearest to the hole to make it easy for you in the rounds. There's certain holes you can attack, and there's certain holes you just defend and roll up for the twos.
Yeah, so which of the 18s do you think will score the best, looking at the tee boxes?
Just you.
Thank you. As I get interrupted with a pipe, the joy the joy of a live broadcast. Nobody done this last year. Thank you, Josh.
We didn't say at the beginning, we are above one of our favourite places in Hastings at the moment. The 1200 postcards has long been one of our favourite places.
Then
last year they very kindly invited us upstairs to do the podcast, so we're happy.
Yeah, David, the owner here, is the best guy. He's friends with David Gaiman, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And goes back a long way with mini golf in the community here and understands what we do.
It's a nice little pub. I've enjoyed being in.
Yeah, we get a bit of culture as well, a bit of poetry.
Bonus. What was your question?
The 18
that I thought you asked. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what? Yeah. What round do you think is going to have the lowest score? Box one, box two, or box three?
The lowest round.
Yeah.
I'd like to say hole two.
Box two.
Box two.
Yeah.
The worst round.
That is where the
29s
came from.
Any final questions?
No. It's just wanted to excuse to mention 29s.
Anything else that you want to say that we haven't covered yet?
Who do I think will win?
Who do you think will win?
I'm going to have to go for my teammate. I think this year could be Ed Pope's year. I'm going to be a bit biased, obviously he's my team member. He's been very close the last few years. And I just think this year, with the way things are, certain ex-champions ain't going to get it their own way this
you
year.
You think,
so
oh, goodness. Okay. Cool. James Shaw, thank you very much. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Guys.
That was interesting. We've spoken about who we think is going to win the professional, although the novice tournament is a very big part of it. Do we have any guesses for the novices? Who do we think are strong in the novices? So we're hearing Rachel King.
Rachel King.
Who else do we think?
I think you've named 50% of what I would put as the chance.
Yeah.
You gotta look at the people that played the most mini golf the last 12 months.
Yeah.
That put in the effort, that might not buckle under the pressure, that played invitational, so they've been somewhere at the top of a field, and I think she'll be there. I think one of our international guests is playing the novice. We may or may not speak to Tom at some point. And Tom Loftus has a great chance. He's experienced. He's set to the ball.
All right. Well, look. If you're worried at all about the energy of this podcast dying down, okay? All I want to say is don't worry, because I've got someone who's really going to lift us. It's Loftus! It's John Loftus! And Robin Swanson!
USA!
Robin, do you want to join us?
Yes.
Robin,
come on.
So we got Tom, Mr. T, Loftus.
Guest on 54
and Robin the pink putter Schwartzman. Welcome back to the podcast.
Do we do more cheers before
we've got to do more?
Hang on, everyone. Oh. So, for the listeners at home, our surprise special guest, who you might not be surprised, his name has come up a few times already today.
Why
did you say you're going to win? Has just walked into the building. Mark Chapman is with us tonight. We're going to interview him next, but first, Tom, Mr. T, Loftus, Robin, the Pink Putter Schwartzman, welcome back to the 54 Problems podcast. Thank you so much for coming back. How are you both doing?
Great.
We're well. It's our first time in the United Kingdom, and we are absolutely loving it. We have now played 17 different courses in the last week, so watch out, Richard and Emily. I think that's the only bummer is that we didn't work out to cross paths with Richard and Emily, but we've been exchanging messages about just how much we've had a blast here in England so far.
Okay, we're going to talk up a little bit.
We're going to talk a little bit louder.
A little
tired. As many of you know, I'm the co-host of the podcast with my buddy Pat Sheridan from Putting Penguin. So I'm used to talking on a mic, but I'm pretty tired. It's been a lot of practice, so I'm going to defer a lot to Robin.
Okay. The last time we spoke to you both, you took us on a fantastic mini golf road trip around courses across America. A lot of very arty courses, well-designed courses, kitsch courses. You've seen now the Arnold Palmer World Crazy Golf Championship course for the first time. How does it rank for you? What was the feeling? How did you like the course? Can you talk us through some of the holes? What was your impression of it? Are you happy to be here?
Yeah, well, on acoupleofputts.com, our highest rating is a 5 out of 5,
yep.
Also known as a hole-in-one.
Hole-in-one.
And I think we would give Hastings a hole-in-one.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
100%. So years ago, just by looking at the course and the course selections, we were asked to do a thing for Atlas Obscura about the best courses in the world. We really wanted to include courses from everywhere. And I think that's when I got my first excitement about Hastings, because Richard had mentioned, like, you should check out this course, the England courses, as, like, the best one. So I was like, okay, and looked at it, and it was like, well, they have 3 different courses, and this old-school Arnold Palmer is way up our alley. We like the older courses like this. It's got the old-school carpet that in the United States you can find on putt-putt courses,
yep,
where they have the Red Putter Tournament. David and our favorite course in the world, Mark King, has that same kind of old school traditional carpet, which
spoke about that in the last episode, yeah.
And it was weird, but like stepping on the course, it felt like being at home in a weird way. Like you knew that it was gonna play pretty quick, and you knew how it was gonna play, which was kind of reassuring because it's an intimidating tournament. This is the biggest tournament in the world. For turnout, there's no bigger tournament. There's nothing even close. I think Wagam has maybe 110 people, and there's 200 different people playing on this course this weekend. I mean, how could we not want to go to the place with the most amount of people playing mini golf?
Yeah.
So far, it has met your expectations or exceeded them?
Yeah, well, it's so well maintained, it's definitely exceeded. I mean, it's so well maintained that red paint is getting on my balls.
Yes.
It's been wonderful. It's just perfect setting in Hastings, the course itself being a classic. And it's honestly, I think the thing that's the most surprising, having watched videos and everything else, I think I was surprised by how difficult and fussy a lot of the putts are. I think if you watch some of the videos, you watch Frank's videos, Frankie Bucket's videos, you know, he makes some of those putts look really easy, and you get around the cup. I mean, you watch a video and you're like, oh, okay, 2 plays a little fast around the cup. It plays like nothing else. And it really creates a really unique challenge on a course where everything probably will be aced numerous times throughout it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there will be a 4 on quite a few of the holes as well by some of the players and lots of 3s. I mean, you know, there's just lost a lot of places where you can get, where the putts can get away from you, and it's not even more than 4 feet or a meter from the cup.
Yeah, so aside from the course itself, how about the standard? It's the first time you've met a lot of us and a lot of the UK players. What do you think of the standard? What do you think of the depth?
I mean, it's hard to know because we just practice with people, but I had a little taste of that when I went to Sweden and played with a number of people, but everybody's been really great. I've seen a lot of really great putters. I've seen a lot of people making a lot of great putts, and I think just as people, everybody's just been incredible. Like, everybody's been so hospitable and helpful. I've had people like help figure out like what kind of mini golf balls would be like good to take from here, or was surprised by like some people from the Welsh team got me a kit. It was like very warm and hospitable in a way that I just, it's kind of amazing. I think for us, we are some of the co-founders of the American Mini Golf Alliance, and we really are trying to be very welcoming and make sure people feel open to come to our events in the United States. And I feel like between here and Sweden, like the bar is so high to really match for hospitality that, it's a good thing. Like, we already know that we want to be hospitable, but here I feel like this is like a reminder and raises the bar even higher.
So you're both playing in the novice event, okay? How do you feel your chances might be in the novice?
Oh, I am just trying not to embarrass myself.
Okay. Let's ask a different question then. So at the end
says
of...
Says the person, what did you shoot, a 32 today?
I did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have not shot a 32. Robin went...
But
what?
I also
two,
shot,
three,
I also
four,
shot
five.
A 40 today, so...
Okay.
She has 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row, so...
So at the end of both the novice and the professional events, in the novice it's the top 12 players, for the professionals it's the top 18. There's a crazy, crazy round. One of the things that makes the World Crazy Golf Championship special, where all three balls could be on the green at one time, and you could knock each other's balls out of the way. There's an element of strategy. Have you, as a couple, had a conversation about what would happen if you ended up in the crazy, crazy round together? Would you protect each other's balls, or are you out for blood? Have you had this conversation?
We have not had this conversation, and in the States we call this bump and run.
Bump and run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have no mercy.
It's funny because I heard a lot of like seasoned players talking around hole one, and was kind of like listening in another conversation, and I think they had a lot of like really great wisdom. Just that I think I naturally was already thinking was, you can bump people, but it's probably rarely going to work in your favor.
Okay.
And then you ultimately have to, like, in any game of mini golf, worry about your own shot, your own game. Like, you start worrying about the person you're playing with is playing really well. And sometimes I do that.
Sure.
I know that. I play worse. So it's play the shot where it is. And if you bump somebody, so be it. But I don't know that this course is one where I would get reckless with it. I worry more about someone else who's trying to put me in a bad spot, but I'll just find my way out of it.
What's that famous saying? Don't play your opponent, play the course.
Play the course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Famous as in on the sign on the course.
Any final things you want to say that we haven't covered yet?
If people are coming over to the States and they want to play competitive mini golf, we encourage you to check out the American Mini Golf Alliance, amaminigolf.com. You can become a member from the UK. In fact, if you're listening to this and you are at the Crazies and you want to become a member, just go on our website, become a member for free. We'll give you a membership card. And we're happy to give you advice about places to play, because Robin and I also do a couple of putts, and we've played somewhere in the ballpark of about 500 courses with the majority in the United States. So we can give you some advice on what's like a really good place to play a wacky course, or really good place to play a competitive course that will test your putting skill.
And what was the website again?
acoupleofputs.com.
acoupleofputs.com. And the AMA?
And amaminigolf.com. And if you need a
AMA
mini golf course design, you can go to minigolfdesigners.com.
or acoupleofputs.com,
and you can see the work that we do for that.
Thank you so much, Tom, Mr. T. Loftus. Robin the Pink Putter Schwartzman, thank you so much. Now, Simon, we advertised this episode as having a very special surprise guest. We're so grateful that they're here. We didn't know whether it would happen.
Yeah, it actually happened.
It actually happened. Huge reaction when he walked in. I know a lot of people are excited to hear from him. Let's bring him on. I'm going to give him a standing ovation. Mark the Force Chapman.
Please be seated.
Hello.
Welcome back to the 54 Problems podcast, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like I've never been away.
Thank you so much for coming. For people who maybe don't know, you have a very long and rich history with the World Crazy Golf Championship. I think you're a fantastic ambassador for the game here. Do you want to just outline your achievements and your history with the World Crazy Golf Championship?
I've played it about 10, 11 times and won it 3 times, runner-up last year, 4th numerous times. I think it came 24th one year as well. I've kind of seen it all, as it were.
I think the World Crazy Golf Championship, it seems to have a special place in your heart. Can you talk about what makes it so special? Why do you think it's special to everyone? And why is it special to you, do you think?
I just think it's the setting. I think it's such a unique site to play this beautiful game. And, you know, the local culture is unique. Here on the south coast in Sussex, but I just think it epitomises everything about the classic British seaside.
Yeah.
And we bring that, and that's from an Australian, so. I think in a nutshell, it is sort of, if you had to choose somewhere to sort of land the mini golf spaceship,
yeah.
I think you could choose no better place on this planet. So. You know, that's the one thing. I don't know whether Hastings got anything else going for it, but that for me, I'm from Kent, by the way. That's why Keith Kellar's not playing this year.
Yeah, some people here are trying to sell flats in Hastings.
Okay. Good luck.
Swiftly on.
Yeah.
Yes, so you've spent some time at the course, knowing you quite a bit. I think less than usual.
Oh, I don't know. Well, looking around the room, everyone looks rather red.
Yeah.
So,
the sun's been out.
I think maybe I've played a blinder here by not rocking up so early. But
yeah.
No, I've a year's gone pretty quick. I think dad bod is most certainly here. I'm feeling the extra weight in every sense. But then again, on the other hand, you know, I'm not the champion anymore. So I think coming into this year sort of slightly under the radar, hooking people up with the media interviews and passing them on instead of sort of taking on myself. That in mind, I don't know if Simon knows this, I've just hooked him up with BBC Scotland for tomorrow. It's quite nice to kind of come in. It does feel different, although every year's felt different.
What's that been, about 4 years since you came in like this?
The ages,
because
there was the COVID gap
deal,
as well.
Yeah.
So it has been an age, and so much has happened over that time. Like all the key events in my life. So
yeah,
I'm excited. I'm energized. I had a absolutely, and you can bleep this out. Is this live? No. I don't know. I won't swear. But a fucking big plumbing bill.
Sorry, I missed that. You had a what?
A fudding big plumbing bill.
A plumbing bill?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I had a flood in the kitchen and we had to get an emergency plumber, £180 an hour.
Ooh.
And what I thought was
ooh.
A 1 hour job turned into 5 hours. Plus that.
That's £900.
So pretty much, like for the first time, like I've always said, I the money's secondary. I've tried to play for the prestige and the title and all of that. But the first time ever, I can honestly say I'm only here for the money.
You want the money. You want the money. Okay. Speaking of money, how much money is it for first place in the professionals?
It's £1,250, which
okay.
I think has been the same the last.
And your
year.
Plumbing bill was £900 plus
VAT. No, 1,300.
1,300.
So I've got to come first, second, and third in order to come out on top this year. But no, honestly, it's quite. I don't know when this happened, and it literally happened 2 days ago, and it was like right. I am in this weekend.
Great.
I'm
great. Everyone knows this. That's fantastic.
Attack the course, and I'm unashamedly just here for the money.
Why not? Go for it. And I love the. Thank you for sharing that as well, because it's a nice bit of extra motivation.
Yeah.
We want to try something while we've got you here. Regular listeners will know that we do a hot topic. Usually we put a yes-no question on Facebook and we let people vote on Facebook, and then we let our guest give not a deciding vote, but we let our guest have their say and give a bit more explanation. Now we've got 16 people, I think, in our live audience tonight. We're going to ask for hands.
Andrews, can't you hear?
We're going to ask for hands up on this question, and then we're going to turn it to you, Mark. So, it's the 20th year of the World Crazy Golf Championship, a milestone year, and to do something special, instead of a regular tee-off area, one large big tee-off area where you can go wherever you want, there are now 3 tee-off areas, left, middle, and centre. 3 little boxes, and then you can put your ball, for round one, you can put your ball wherever you want in the first box. So, audience first, by a show of hands, and I'll try and count them up.
I would say by a yay and nay.
Oh, I can't count a yay and nay.
Oh, but
okay, put your hand up. No. Just put your hand up.
You can see the sound.
Okay. So, hands. I can see the sound.
You can see sound, that's a thing.
Hands up.
After a few of those.
Hands up, and the question is, who thinks that 3 tee-off boxes are a good idea, something good to try for the 20th year? Who's happy with it? Who thinks it's a good idea? We're maybe 12, 13 people for, 3 against, something like that. It was an overwhelming 4, I think that's fair to say. Mark, it's interesting to get your thoughts on it, because you've been a champion, you've been in second place a lot of times with the one single tee-off box. Talk to us personally now, not just for everyone else, not just for all the other players. You said you want to win, you want the money, that's great. You want the title, you want the money. How do you feel about the 3 tee-off boxes?
I think there should be 6.
Yeah?
Next year. It doesn't faze me at all. It's just,
okay.
Yeah, it's just a bit different. You know, over the years, sort of the holes have changed somewhat. So
yeah.
We kind of played in different areas before on some holes, depending on what the felt's doing and the wind, and then obviously in the final round when all the balls in play, if someone blocks your line, then naturally you'll go wider to a side. So I don't think, in a weird way, I think it strangely benefits some of the players that have been around for a decade plus because they've kind of got a bit of range. And I don't see it as a negative thing, it's just something new.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bold choice, and I think the organisers should be applauded for trying something different. You can ask me again at the end of Sunday, whether I liked it compared to normal or not. I don't know.
I suppose having spoke to you, say, 12 months ago, and knowing you're one of the few people that thinks they will perhaps be in a situation to need to play different angles and avoid balls in the final round, do you think for the top players this will play into their hands, that they've looked at those shots and have a preconceived notion of what to play? Or do you think it actually closes the gap that we've all looked at it this year, not just you and a couple of others?
I think it reduces the total number of aces over the weekend, because effectively you're playing three courses twice, and the right-hand side is the harder of the three. So I'd be inclined to say, after three rounds on Saturday, the leaderboard's going to be a complete mess. There's going to be novices in the top 10. There's going to be players that have probably never led an event at any stage up there overnight, which will be fun for them. and then sort of on Sunday it will start to sort itself out. I think the obvious names are still going to be there or thereabouts, but definitely the gap between them and sort of the rest that would normally maybe be somewhere in the region of 15 to 20 shots difference might only be 5 or 6 shots this time.
Okay.
So I kind of did some working out on sort of previous scores.
Excel?
And through the holes. Never mind. I worked from what I've been playing to in terms of averages on holes and kind of went through it. And I only really think it's 3 or 4 shots harder this year in total. I'm on the face of it, you think, oh, it's going to really be a pain. But I don't know. I just feel that the course is, you know, it's going to give and it's going to take away in equal ways as it has in the past. So, I expect something very similar in terms of an end.
That's a really good point.
I don't believe that overall... There's a massive difference. So people are getting hung up on a load of nonsense. You just got to play what's in front of you.
Nice.
There will be key moments in everyone's weekend, and it's just a case on how you ride the wave of inconsistency, how you ride the wave of bad shots, how you ride the wave of I know the local bikers club revving past you just on your backswing. Welcome to the World Crazy Golf Championships. Welcome to Hastings.
So, who's going to do that best, and what score will they hit when they do it?
don't laugh.
Who's my pick for the year? I think Michael is back on form from what I've seen from the outside. I think Adam, I know what it's like coming in as the champion, and that's automatically an extra 2 or 3 shots sort of in your spring in your, your step.
Yeah.
Those two are the obvious ones. I'd say Frank from the States coming back after strong performance
USA,
last year.
USA.
I think he can only move forward. And then you've got to look at the recent players that have some form on tour. You know, James Shaw, Seve Kukioka, Tiger Pragnell. Number of hours on the course is any metric of success, Tiger should be a 10-time world champion.
At least a 10-time world champion around holes 14 and 15. I wanna ask you one final thing quickly. You have a lot of experience with the course. One of the wonderful things about this competition is the amount of novices. One of the wonderful things about this competition is the amount of novices that play, and they're certainly welcomed. What would be your advice? And what would be your advice for novice players that come, and you know, there's a large amount of money for the novice winners. Can you impart any of your learned wisdom and say, just remember these one or two things, and that might get you a couple of shots.
This is how score well.
Use your group professional.
Okay.
Ask them questions. Don't be scared of the people with the rubber-faced putters. You have to use their knowledge and advice. It's so important to watch, to learn.
It really is. Yeah.
So, thank you. That first round, if you can absorb the knowledge and the information of the two players playing ahead of you, generally,
yep.
if you're the youngest, you'll probably be third in the group. You have to make sure that you absorb that. And then, sort of, through the day, you want to be really sort of settling in on how you're playing and the types of shots you're playing, so that if you do get into that final 12, then, you know, you're on your own. It's your own head. And you're confident that you know what you're doing by now. You've had all the advice. It's all locked in, and boom, off you go. Try and beat the man in a monkey suit or whatever.
It could be.
That's the reality.
It could be. We'll see. Simon, any final questions?
8:30 a.m.
It does this to me. Yeah. So my final question is, what am I doing at 8:30 a.m. and where? And
you're speaking to the whole of Scotland as their representative.
Finally, some people that will be able to understand them.
Yeah. But maybe at 8:30 in the morning, even they're going to
struggle. Well, who knows?
Amazing. Yeah. You could have messaged me. I love this. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Media sensation.
I shall.
As the pose.
I am still the most followed social media athlete in the UK.
Okay. Mark, any final things you'd like to say that we haven't covered yet? This is your moment if you want it.
Thanks. I think, you know, the talking has ended, and now it's time to, in some famous words, which are put up or shut up.
Put up or shut up. Mark, thank you so much for coming! Great to hear from Mark.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Rachel, would you like to say a little bit about the women's competition? Anyone? Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So joining us now, Rachel King. An important...
And this is genuinely spontaneous. The joy of doing a live show, we have an audience.
Yeah.
Let's use it.
I can make a pun. We've got the Queen, and we've also got the King. It's Rachel King.
In what?
Didn't even rehearse that one.
Should have.
Rachel, this year, as well as being 20th anniversary, it's a little bit special as well. We've done recently a special episode, Women in Mini Golf. There's going to be another competition here tomorrow for women playing together. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Because it's fantastic.
No, really. It's just, I think there's 11 of us playing tomorrow. Sorry, I'm going to shout. Yeah, 11. It's just about... women getting together, so it's proven that.
So 11 women are playing together. It's a special women's competition. Get women playing together and to promote women playing mini golf, which we think is fantastic.
Yes. It's like to promote all women to play, but it's also nice to actually play with just the women as well, because you don't get that a lot when we all play in a tournament. It's usually two men and a lady, you know. So it's nice, and it'd be a nice friendly competition against the women, even though we all want to win. So, I'm looking forward to it.
And this has been pulled together quite ad hoc.
It's fantastic. It's been pulled together by who?
Thanks go to Jim Minnie.
Oh, yeah.
Not Jim Rang, Jim Minnie Golf Club, for their efforts in forwarding the game. They're very passionate about being progressive and open up to any sector they can. And I think spearheading that particularly is the female element of the game.
Yeah.
And they could see that wasn't represented. You know, we've got the juniors, we've got the novices,
yeah.
even the teams have got passion into every single element they can. And one thing was, I would imagine accidentally, overlooked.
Always a prize for the women.
Even though we might not get up there against you men, but I think that's because there's just not enough women playing. We're not equal, you know, there's not equal number.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like with Ruth and that, she's more than capable.
Absolutely.
Like a few of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ruth Buck.
Yeah, so I think there should be, like, it's just a tournament within a tournament for women. So I think there should be always.
I believe that's at 9:30 on the Friday morning. I will certainly
I can't wait to follow along and cheer.
Half past ten.
And support you all.
Yeah. Half past 10, that's good. Are we done with BBC Scotland apparently? So
that'd be good. If you could
put
the women on there, that'd be good.
No, but it's excellent to have that, and more power to it. Hopefully, it's a success. We can you know, put a spotlight on that. We can all get behind that.
Yeah.
And maybe next year, they've added the teams in the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
Maybe next year, this is something they can look at adding.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Rachel King, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. Just under 10 minutes of tape left. We've got 16 audience members in this room. Would anyone like to come and express something that they feel we haven't discussed yet? Just as a show of hands, would anyone like to take the hot seat?
I'm looking about. I can see some locals. I can see some big names.
Luke's been opinionated.
We haven't spoken about the teams. We haven't spoken about the teams yet.
And you came runner up last year.
That's an excellent idea. Luke, come and support us too. Okay. Stepping up to the mic, we have Luke Ryan, because quite rightly it was pointed out that one of the things we haven't spoken about yet is the team champion. So what's happened is Luke has come to sit to talk to us, and Mark Chapman, ever the opportunist, has stolen his seat. Is that a sign of things to come, maybe for the weekend? Who knows? Okay, Luke.
The team's event, there are many of us, but it's first event. Yeah, so the team was when it was first mentioned and first mooted a couple of years ago. I don't think many of us were too keen. And we've grown into enjoying it the last couple of years. You had a fantastic moment at Hull 5, particularly last year. How do you feel going back? Is that something you're focused on? Who are your teammates, and how did you put this together?
I wasn't supposed to be playing last year in the team event. Mr. Edmonds came up to me about half hour before and said, do you want to play? I hit the sails on the first shot.
Okay.
And this year, with Tri-Nation domination.
So you got three nations in one team.
So I'm hoping that I can go one better and get the winner's medal this year.
What happened, to explain it, last year I noticed Luke wasn't in a team. I said, Luke, you've got to play in the team tournament. You've been improving so much last year. I played matchmaker and I kind of formed a team of three. Your team of three did very, very well. And then, as you said, you got into the final place playoff on the windmill, the most iconic hole. First shot, you did hit the sails, but the second shot, through the sails, into the hole. Well done.
And we are 12 months on, and you're at least twice, if not five times, the playoff. Your improvement in the last year has been fantastic. You've got to the level now I see you as a threat at events, and I think most of us do. And this could be your time in the team event, especially with those two. You must be overjoyed.
Mm.
I mean, my playing partners are diabolical compared to yours.
It's okay. That's all right. You're doing great. You're doing great. Don't worry. What's your first thought?
Dunton.
Good idea.
Obviously, I was in the winner in the playoff, so I knew it was left of the right cup, and it went right, and I knew straight away I lost, and that was it. For me, that wasn't a problem. I wanted my first Cat 2 medal. That's all I wanted.
But so you were in that playoff because you played well.
Yeah, but, and I came sixth overall. So. I know, was it Mark mentioned about the lower scores now? The aces are not there as much. So, you know, I'm a few aces off.
You hate it.
You can be honest. You don't think you can be honest?
I would say, 5th for May, I'd got all this stuff. All my positions. I think I was getting somewhere between about 27 to 33 aces over the 6. And now I'm about maybe 10, 15 less with these new boxes. But I'm hoping to do as well as I can. I'm worried that I might not make the cut, but if I don't, I don't. But
we're all worried.
We're hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping I will, to be honest, yeah.
Fantastic.
Look, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be cheering your team on because you've got your fans. Unfortunately, the bingo's closed now, so there won't be any people cheering from the balcony. You've got your fans, and then obviously the Australians for Josh. And the Americans for Frank. So good luck in the team tournament. I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, it's something that's developed. It's taken on a mind of its own, and now I think this year it feels like an actual thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm genuinely looking forward to it. I think we have teams with quality. All three people have quality, and it's going to be a thing. If you're not in it, you want to watch it. If you get knocked out, you stay to the end, and it's maybe a bit of a pitch, but.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams this year, 34 teams, I believe. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so well done to Hastings Course and well done to the organisers for making this happen.
Yeah. Okay, Luke Ryan, thank you very much. You're very good. Okay. Well,
wow.
That was our second live episode. Maybe the start of a tradition or a continuation for a tradition.
We said less guests.
Yeah. I mean,
less guests.
I've got no idea how to wrap this up. It was great to hear from everyone. Clearly. Go on, guys. Clearly,
we have lost our audience.
We lost the audience. Clearly, a lot of excitement, a lot of passion for this unique World Crazy Golf Championship. We've heard a lot of things. We've heard some... Frank. We've heard... We've heard a lot of things. We've heard to look at the scores at the end of Saturday. We've heard people like the new tee-off boxes. We've heard that the former world champion, not the current world champion, is motivated, is going to be fighting for it. It's going to go all out for the win. That's going to be interesting.
For the money.
For the money. Just for the money.
For the money.
I can't wait for it to get started and watch what unravels. Simon.
For me, as somebody who isn't at the top end, so I get to watch it all unfold, I have more to watch than ever before.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
People on the course shooting scores all over the place, no matter what I think of their ability. There's people I've never seen before. There's novices that were there before me, and I've been here since Monday. I don't even know where to begin. I cannot wait.
Mm.
I maybe need to get more sleep. maybe need a bit of sun cream.
Yeah.
Yes, but most of all, just cannot wait for tomorrow night for the teams. Saturday to get on with it. It's time, and I'm so glad we're here, and I'm so glad to be back.
Thank you, 54.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
Simon for president.
Overdue.
With that said, the only thing left is a goodbye from our live audience. Goodbye. It's goodbye from Simon.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.